Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the fifth edition of the Transpyrenees Race, supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. I'm Ian Broom, and it's time for another beautifully hard bike race across one of the most punishing and picturesque mountain ranges in the world, the Pyrenees. More than 140 riders will take their place at the start line for TPR number 5, including a record number of women. This year, they'll set off from the sun-baked streets of San Sebastian in Spain, head east until they reach the Mediterranean coast before heading back via the historic Raid Parcours and its series of famous cols and climbs. When they return to San Sebastian and cross the finish line, they'll have covered roughly 1,900 kilometers and climbed around 40,000 meters, all on two wheels. TPR is an unsupported free-route race, and while previous editions have given riders the option of choosing gravel over road, at TPR number 5, the gravel forms part of its mandatory parcours, sections that all riders must complete. In this pre-race episode, you'll hear from three riders taking on the challenge, as well as some members of the Lost Dot team. David Eyre is this year's race director.
So with TPR number 5 looming large on the horizon last year, we as a team were having some discussions around the shape of the race, like looking at different permutations for that as we do every year. And one of the things that we'd spoken about was the fact that we often go in recce, lots of really, really beautiful off-road segments, which could potentially work. But with the format of TPR in previous editions, it had always been to incentivize going over those bits rather than mandating them. And there were certain bits which, while beautiful and hard, like ticking both of those boxes for us, it would be difficult to incentivize them in the kind of broad shape of the race. And we thought that to mark the fifth edition of TPR overall, it would be fun to flip that on its head and actually make sure that everyone had to go and experience these beautiful portions of off-road riding that we found over multiple years of doing these recces. So that's the premise for TPR number 5. We've got a journey starting and finishing in San Sebastian, out on the Basque coastline in Spain. And as riders make their way across to the Mediterranean, they're going to be tackling some of the most gorgeous off-road riding I think any of us have done.
The gravel is just one element of this year's race that will test our riders. They'll also have to make their way to several parkour and control points via some of the most spectacular climbs and stunning Pyrenean landscapes. So who can you expect to see at the start line? Hannah Lobelessier is one of our race reporters at TPR number 5.
We've got a really strong women's field, actually. In the past, I don't think we've ever had more than 11 women taking on the race, and we've got 21 on the start list this time, including some really strong riders. So you might recognise some of the names like Helene Fromenty and Nicole von Battenberg. We met both of them last year at Two Volcano Sprint, and they both had really strong rides, and we encouraged them to take on TPR this year. We've also got a few other familiar names, like you might recognize Samantha Saskia Dugon, who is one of our race photographers. She's been with us on the Accursed race the last couple of years and at TCR as well. So it'll be fun having her actually riding one of our races rather than being behind the scenes and experiencing it from a different angle. We've also got a few TCR veterans like Anna Linden, Joanna Ruminska, Pietrisk, and we've also got a returning rider from TPR last year, Leila Sabuti. So Leila scratched last year after coming off her bike and having a minor concussion, and she came along to the finish anyway, and she put together this really nice series of comics, like illustrated comics based on her experience on the race.
And here is Leila, who kindly shared some voice notes with us to tell us how she's feeling about returning for another crack at the mountains.
At the end of last year's TPI, I already knew that I wanted to come back. Maybe because of, like, I feel like I have unfinished business. Like, I enjoyed myself so much last year on the 4 days that I raced, that I couldn't see myself like not try again and like hope to finish this time. I know that it's going to be very hard. but yeah, I really, really love to finish this. And if I can finish within GC time, then it's even better. So, and also like the area, the Pyrenees, I really love these mountains, and I love cycling there. And so I think maybe this race is one of the most like appropriate races for me. Like the route is really going through some of my favorite places on earth. Gravel really isn't my strong suit. It has never been. But this year I took part in a gravel event in Brittany in France. To get better at this and feel more confident and comfortable on the bike and on the gravel trails. It's a challenge, it is, because the like normal TPR without the gravel is already a challenge, and TPR with gravel sections is even harder, but it will take us to even more remote and beautiful places, I think. So that's the positive thing, the good part.
It's fantastic to have a record number of women at this year's TPR, especially after the success of Lost Dots 100 Women campaign at this year's Transcontinental Race. Of course, we also have plenty of other riders in the field too. Here's David again.
There's a few riders, I think, that stand out for me. We have Thomas Bury, who has podiumed at Atlas Mountain Race in the past. Again, very strong off-road rider, lots of experience. You'll be interested to see how he gets on. Then we also have a returning rider who I think is worth keeping an eye on, so Jamie Loudon. So Jamie was leading TPR number two before having to scratch near Tarascon on the raid parkour. He came back for TPR number three and set an absolutely blistering time across the raid parkour to make up a whole heap of places. This year is coming back for the gravel edition as well. So I think having now got a bit more kind of off-road riding experience under his belt, he's clearly incredibly fit and fast, knows the Pyrenees very well, living with them on his doorstep. So we'll be excited to see how that one unfolds.
As always, there are many returning riders at TPR number 5, but there are also lots of new faces drawn to the Pyrenees to take on its tarmac and trails for the first time. Alvin Escajeda has previous ultra racing experience, including finishes at both the Atlas Mountain Race and TCR number 10, which he describes as the most profound experience of his life. He'll be at the start line in San Sebastian.
I've been in Spain, I've never been to these parts, and just being there, just because, you know, obviously the state of the world is crazy, so having the ability to just go and unplug and play bikes for a while is such a privilege, and just getting stuck in, you know. I think that's one of the big things I missed about TCR was just usually takes a couple of days to get into that kind of animal brain. And it's just so cool when it happens. You're like, you become a different, you're just in a different mode, and you're just so singularly focused on one thing, and it's really cool to feel that way and be able to just live that, like just riding bikes all day and looking at stuff and, I don't know, playing like a little video game with yourself. But that's what it feels like to me. You're just like eat, ride, food, pedal, you know? And just seeing it and the chance to just compete again, you know. For a long time I was just out here trying to finish these races, and you know, doing the TCR gave me a lot of confidence in my ability, and you know, I had a podium earlier this year, and I, beyond that, just the way I raced made me really happy with kind of putting everything together. So I'm just feeling a little bit of confidence about what I'm able to do. So just giving it a try, you know, I'm excited to just put everything I've learned over the last couple of years and trying to string it together to have a really good ride and see what comes of it, you know?
Okay, we know this year's TPR features plenty of gravel and we've heard from two of our riders. Time to get into the nitty-gritty of this year's route. Here's race director David Eyre again, this time via one of our race reporter microphones direct from San Sebastian, which explains the slight change in audio quality.
TPR number 5 starts with a parkour about 50 kilometres long this year, taking riders quickly through the city centre and immediately out into the rolling Basque countryside. This is all about giving them a little bit of a taste of gravel, so straight away in the parkour they will be going off-road on their way out of the city. From there we have a passive control point in Espinal in Spain, so this will draw riders up closer to the Pyrenees. From there, riders will make their way to CP1, the first staffed control point of the race this year. That's going to be in Longas. So this is followed by 45 kilometres of parkour, entirely gravel, finishing in a town called Aguero. This will mean that riders get to see Mayos de Riglos, this beautiful rock formation, quite reminiscent of Meteora in Greece. So for those of the dot watchers at home who've followed TCR editions in the past and have seen that, like, this will look and feel quite familiar to the way that riders have passed through that landscape before as well. From there, riders go up to Torla Ordesa. So we have the second bit of parkour there this year. Again, going to take on some off-road parkour up above the canyon. So really stunning views, quite unlike a lot of European landscapes. It feels a lot more like something like the Grand Canyon or something in America. It's really spectacular. So from there, riders will make their way around to Varados, right up near the French and Spanish border. This is a short piece of parkour, but again, incredibly beautiful, drawing riders properly into the Pyrenees, so into the high mountains to get there. Then from there, they have Parkour 4 and CP4 in Clès de Cerdagne. Yeah, at this point, riders will have taken on the fourth off-road segment of the race this year, so we'll definitely be well acquainted with the fact that this is a gravel edition of TPR. And then the final thing that they have to do in the first half of the race is to go and do the coastal parkour, so get really close down to that Mediterranean coastline around Cap Seber before turning around, pointing their wheels back towards the west, and then going to CP5 in Albania, which is the final staffed control point of the race before riders take on the formidable challenge of the raid parkour, which will deliver them right back across the Pyrenees, taking on 30 different cols on the way. And then it's the small matter of the finish parkour to once again safely deliver riders back down to the finish line in San Sebastian.
As a team, we've been working hard over the last few years to improve the sustainability of our races. One of the success stories has been the introduction of both the Green Leaderboard and the Low Carbon Travel Fund, which both return to this year's Trans-Pyrenees race. Andrew Phillips is race coordinator at TPR number 5.
Yeah, regular listeners to the Lost Dot podcast will be very familiar with the Green Leaderboard. For the last few years, we've been doing a lot of work to try and reduce the carbon footprint of our races. The vast majority of that comes from riders flying to and from the race. So what we've done for TPR and TCR is introduce a Green Leaderboard. So everyone who travels overland is eligible for the Green Leaderboard, and the fastest rider who has travelled overland will get the Green Leaderboard win. We also have a Low Carbon Travel Fund, which we introduced to help those who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford to travel overland. So we give out grants of £250 to help bridge that gap between train and bus travel and the cost of an airfare. We've seen loads of really positive change. It's actually been amazing over the last few years to see the growth in those riders taking flight-free options. Almost 50% of riders are traveling overland to and from the race, which is amazing to see. It's totally possible within Europe, not only possible, but it's actually a really fulfilling choice. And most riders who do it find that they get a lot more out of the experience. And that sense of adventure of the journey having begun, of the race starting, really begins as soon as you leave your front door.
Of course, TPR would not be possible without its many volunteers, whether at the start line, stationed at control points, or watching dots from home, they play a key role in making sure the race runs smoothly and safely for everyone.
The volunteers make a really important part of the race. So we're fortunate enough to have lots of people who are interested in helping to support the running of the race, both in person, out on the road, and then also from home as well. So at both registration and then at the various control points along the way, we'll have teams of volunteers who are there working round the clock while the control points are open. With TPR being a shorter race than, say, Transcontinental, it means a kind of small, intense burst of activity. So you'll have maybe 2.5 days of a control point being open maximum, and we'll have teams of kind of 5 or 6 that are there. And I think one of the things that I really enjoy seeing as well is the amount of volunteers that want to come back year on year. And then obviously the team of volunteers at home, there's something really nice to see about how diligently like they take to that role as well, and how much they want to play a part in making sure that it's a level playing field, and that those riders can trust in the fact that we're going to do our best when it comes to the results to be able to make sure that we're accounting for everything in the best way possible. So yeah, they're an intrinsic bit of the races, and massively thankful to all of them for everything they do for us.
The Mike Hall Bursary supports riders from lower income households to take part in Lost Dot events. It's been a feature of the previous 2 editions of the Transpyrenees race, and we're pleased to have been able to offer bursary places at TPR number 5.
We first introduced the Mike Hall Bursary at TCR number 8, 3 and a bit years ago, and we've since rolled it out to TPR as well. So we should have had 3 riders this TPR on the bursary scheme. Unfortunately, Saeed from Iran hasn't been able to get the necessary visas, which is a reminder that, you know, as a world, we always need to do more to help improve the accessibility of things that we take for granted in Western Europe. But we've still got 2 great riders coming along on the Mike Hall Bursary scheme. We've got Gundi Bussenberger, who's a Girona-based rider, who she's done Kromvajoy before. And we have Sebastina Brugman, who we met earlier on in the year in Montenegro. The Bursary riders have this year not only had the benefit of the cash for the bursary to ensure that they can afford the race, but also the coaching brought by our coach we work with, Robbie Britton, who's done an amazing job with all of the bursary athletes. And I've helped put on a few sessions with them as well to get them prepared for racing, talking about sleep strategy and nutrition with Robbie and all that kind of stuff to get them really prepared for what they're going to find when the race kicks off.
While TPR is very much a race, and we look forward to seeing how things pan out at the pointy end of proceedings, those who take part can expect to develop an emotional connection with the landscapes of the Pyrenees. For Helen Fromenty, that connection already exists.
I actually have a really interesting relationship with the Pyrenees because I have a family house there. And so I've been there since I'm a child, every summer pretty much. And I don't know, it's there is not just one Pyrenees in my eyes, but first. It's super diverse, and the mountains are so incredible, way more remote and I would say wild than in the Alps. It's just beautiful. And I'm super, super excited to go there because I haven't, back then when I was going there with my family in the summer, I was not a cyclist yet. So I just know the Pyrenees from hiking and just wandering around with my cousins and my sister, and riding there will be super, super, super nice. I've been riding there in a few races before, and that's how I decided to register to Transpyrenees race, because I was like, okay, I want more. I want more of that. And so it was just perfect for me, like connecting my in a way childhood memories and my new hobby. So it's I don't know how people from abroad experience the Pyrenees or see the Pyrenees from their eyes, but it's, I mean, for me it's normal in a way, but it's true that when you think about it, like it's the place where all the bigger Tour de France stages, also the Alps of course, but some of the bigger passes are there, and it's just, yeah, a magical place. And I'm super excited, but with no precise goal. I think I'm quite competitive, and when I go, I want to do my best all the time. But still, I don't know everybody on the start list. I just know a few people, and it's quite hard to say before. And I'm not looking forward anything else than enjoying myself, having a good time, and see what happens. And it will be cool, I'm sure. And let's see what happens.
Join us in our next episode for Registration Day in San Sebastian, where this year's riders will come together to collect their race caps, compare notes, and enjoy that unique sense of start line community. Our race reporters for TPR number 5 will be there to find out how they're feeling. There are long days in the mountains ahead, many challenging cols to climb, and the kind of memories to make that they will never forget. Let the adventure begin. As well as this podcast, you can read daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.